Well, welcome back, everybody. I don't know about you, but I'm still ticked off about what Donald Trump did to the Capitol. You know, that desecration, that complicit protest that he put together, the whole thing is just, I'm still upset about it. But first, I want to show you this video of Donald Trump, and this is something that they had a little bit of a party before he went out and gave his speech in front of the White House, that speech that incited the mob to violence. He went just before that. They had a tent evidently set up at the White House, and you've probably seen some clips, you know, on TV, but I saw something in this clip that really just added to the disgust, really, of this Trump family. And they're all there in this video. It's the whole Trump family. They're like a ghoulish version from hell of the Adams family. That's the best way I can describe it. The whole gang is there. The only one that I didn't see was Melania and, of course, her son and their son. I didn't see him there or her there. But the whole gang was there. I even saw Tiffany in the front. I saw Ivanka. I saw Eric. And of course, you know, you've got Big Mouth Don Jr. That was filming the whole thing. But in this video, watch how the Trumps have made the protest a sort of celebration, you know, which just absolutely, I don't know. It just, I don't know why it strikes me as so disgusting, because it is disgusting. I realize that, but I know I can't let this go. It's so damn disgusting. You know, and at this tent, they've got this tent set up on the White House lawn. It's complete with TVs. They've got various angles showing the protest happening, you know, that he's incited, the incitement to violence. They've got all these different angles. I don't know where did those different angles come from that they've got of the protest? The only way that they could have so many angles of those protests is through something complicit with the Capitol Police and/or the local police to get that feed in there of all of these protesters happening. There must be seven or eight different angles of TVs, you know, cameras that they have on this whole thing, all drawn together for the entertainment of this ghoulish version of the Adams family from hell, the Trump family. What's going on here with this? I mean, this is so, it's just absolutely disgusting, you know, to watch this. And when I show this video to you folks, take a look at the screens that they're looking at, the screens that Donald Trump is looking at, Ivanka, Eric, you know, look at those screens that they're looking at. And I want you to notice, I think it's on the one in the bottom right, there's an ambulance that's just trying to make its way carefully through the mob with its lights blaring. An ambulance traveling through on the screen that they're watching. Now, the connection here is that either somebody is hurt, or B, that somebody will be hurt. I mean, undeniably, that ambulance is a signal that something bad is going to happen, folks. Something bad is likely to happen. And something did happen that was bad. We've got, what, five people that have passed away, and we've got, I don't know how many other people have been injured. I don't think we have a tally on that yet, but that was just a little signal that something was going wrong, or something could go wrong. And that friggish, ghoulish version of the Adams family, the Trumps, just watched it glide by. And the whole time, you know, that song Gloria is playing in the background, you know, from 1982, Brannigan. And I'll try to do a version of it. If I had to strip that from the video, because YouTube obviously doesn't entertain the idea of music in the background unless it's, you know, something that you have license to. But it's that song that goes, it kind of goes like this. Gloria, don't you think you've fallen? If everybody wants you, Gloria. You know, that's the best version I can do of it. But have a look at this clip, folks. And I wish I could play the music for you because it winds up just as that ambulance is going through. I mean, it's absolutely disgusting. This ghoulish Trump family just... And my favorite, I didn't show you this, but my favorite part of the clip is just a few seconds before I went to that. Actually, it was about 30 seconds before that other clip. You've got Kimberly Guilfoyle, Donald Trump's girlfriend, dancing to Gloria. It's just, I don't know if I can ever listen to the song again, to be honest with you. I used to love this song. Obviously, right? I'm from the 80s and all that kind of jazz. I don't know if I can bear it anymore, but here she is dancing to it, folks. Have a look at this. What was she doing there? Ghoulish. The whole bunch of ghouls. You know, that ambulance, maybe it was the Capitol Guard, just as they were charging the Capitol building there and they were pushing on the fence, I think it was a female Capitol Guard, not real young either, she got pushed up and slammed against the stairs, knocked down and slammed against the stairs. Maybe it was her in that ambulance. Maybe it was the protester that was trying to get into the House chamber as they were pushing on the cracked doors with the glass where they were threatening the guards, you know, that they were going to kill them or something, that finally moved out of the way, that didn't have anything but their fist to prevent people from getting in. And then a shot rang through the door and killed a protester, shot her in the neck. Maybe it was her in that ambulance. The point is, the Trumps don't give a damn. To give a rat's ass would contradict the premise of the rally. To care would contradict the whole premise of that rally. To be wild, to create chaos, to take Pence hostage maybe, or other lawmakers. Who knows? There were guys running through there with these hand restraint zip ties. There was something more going on here, folks. This just wasn't a bunch of MAGA protesters. Yeah, they were the fluid within which these other people that had ulterior motives, and God knows what they would have done if they had actually gotten in. An ambulance doesn't stop and make them think for a second that somebody could have been harmed or killed. It doesn't even faze these ghouls. It doesn't even faze them. That's the price for what Trump wanted out of the protest, that ambulance. That was the price. That's part of the deal. That's the price you pay for chaos. Well, folks, Twitter, as we know, has since banned Donald Trump with an outcry from many conservatives. And in banning Donald Trump from Twitter, they said essentially it comes down to this: due to the risk of further incitement of violence. Yes, that's what it came down to. Due to the risk of further incitement of violence. And this argument against censorship, against free speech, hits at the heart of what we're all talking about now, Section 230, the argument going on right now. And the argument is, what gets banned from social media and what doesn't get banned? Back in November, when Mark Zuckerberg was dragged in front of, I think it was a House committee, one of those committees, he said in November, we would benefit from clear guidance from elected officials. We would benefit from clearer guidance from you guys. And I've been recently making the argument that what's really going on here, folks, is a battle of truth over fiction. That's what it comes down to. It's all about that. It's a battle between truth versus fiction. Now, YouTube took the stance recently that you can't claim election fraud on their platform and then try to walk through your version of the facts in proving election fraud. Why would they do that? Why do you think YouTube would do that? And I want to illustrate this with a clip from Louder with Crowder. And in this clip, I want you to listen to their lawyer that's on this video as to why he, Crowder, can't claim election fraud and then try to prove it. Can't claim election fraud and try to prove it. Have a listen to this.
The way that they've kind of threaded the needle here to make it impossible to give a truly credible argument at this point going forward, right?
Right.
Is they have said you can either say Trump won, but don't give the substantiating evidence, to which then anyone can go, if they had evidence, they would have said it.
Exactly.
And then, or you can just say, without saying what the conclusion is, give the evidence, right? Which is right. To say, oh, these election, like this number of votes was wrong. This number of votes were, you know, incorrect ballots, shouldn't have been counted, came in after a deadline, et cetera. But you can't then tie it to the conclusion, which is it's impacted the outcome of the election.
Right.
So now you can just give this, but it's irrelevant. There's no context. Okay. So 5,000 ballots. What do you mean? Well, I can't tell you what I mean by that.
Right.
I can't tell you how it
impacts the rules.
I can't tell you why it's relevant.
YouTube is trying to cultivate an environment where you can voice an opinion and not substantiate it. What's being banned from YouTube right now, what causes a problem, is statistical, factual, legal substantiation.
So what he's saying there, folks, is you can't tie the evidence of election fraud to the conclusion that that's why Trump lost the election. You can't take the evidence, the so-called evidence, and say this is how he lost because of that fraud. And then Crowder adds, you can voice an opinion yet not substantiate it. You can voice an opinion, but you can't substantiate it. Poor little baby. What a whiner. Really, what a whiner. And he goes on to say, what's being banned is factual substantiation. That's what Crowder says. What's being banned is factual substantiation. No, it's not. In reality, folks, what YouTube is banning is false substantiation, truth versus fiction. And you might say, you know, hey, Frank, that's your opinion, buddy. You might say that. But folks, not when 60 courts have heard the factual substantiation and rejected it. Many of the judges making those decisions were judges appointed by Donald Trump. Appointed by Trump. So folks, YouTube is trying to make the decisions based on the truth. YouTube has decided that the courts are the best arbiters of the truth. The courts are. And isn't that what they do by very essence is to try to get to the truth, or at least attempt to get to the truth? Isn't that what the courts do? So in Trump's case, with being banned on Twitter, they allowed his claims of election fraud on Twitter. That wouldn't have worked on YouTube, evidently. But Twitter allowed it. But they drew the line when they thought that there was the risk of further incitement of violence. That's when they drew the line, the risk of further incitement of violence. That's what it took. That was a bridge too far for him. Evidently, that was the straw that broke the camel's back. And we saw in the video that the Trump ghouls could care less about the violence, folks. They could care less. They don't care. An ambulance on the screen trying to get someplace, and the violence that suggested either imminent or minutes before, it didn't bother them. It doesn't bother them a bit. They could care less. So should Donald Trump be banned from Twitter? Hell yes, he should be banned. And should Twitter have acted sooner on the fraudulent claims that he was making of election fraud? Yes. Yes. Just like YouTube did. You can't make claims and then use lies to prove it that the courts have said are basically lies. There's nothing to it. You can't make claims, prove it with lies. No, you can't do that. They should have acted sooner. So the best arbiter that we have right now of the truth that we have, the best thing that we can rely on in this moment is what the courts are deciding. And we should hold social media to that standard. If a case is appealed to a federal court, that process of discerning the truth through the courts should be respected. It's all we've got right now. Donald Trump says, let's get rid of Section 230. My God, do you realize what they would do to you if you got rid of Section 230? That's the only thing that's protecting the crap that you're putting out there right now, Donald Trump. If they got rid of Section 230, they would just err on the side of caution and start bearing down even further. I mean, it's insane, that suggestion that he made, get rid of Section 230. It's like, what are you smoking? Do you realize what you're saying? The best thing that we have right now is what the courts are doing in a lot of cases to try to discern the truth, especially when it came down to election fraud. That's the best we've got. And until something improves and we get clarity on this Section 230, that's what we should go with. Folks, thanks for tuning in. Till next time.